Everybody you already know, we was gone, but not for too long. Coverage season, we're back. Let's get into these games, man.
Yeah, we had a little hiatus, but we are back. Let's get into this week's top five games. What you want to talk about first?
We definitely got to start with the Niners and the Rams. Woo!
Woo!
The Niners look good, man. The Niners look good. I know early in the season, I didn't have much faith in them. I thought they were solid, but I didn't think they played anybody yet. You know, they had their first real piece of competition when they played the Steelers, and the defense definitely showed up. In the last few weeks, we seen what they've done. Last week it was Baker Mayfield. This week, Jared Goff. The Niners are for real, and if you're in the NFC West, and yet anybody outside of Seattle, you need to worry. You know, these guys are for real. These guys are legit. And I think that they're a team to be reckoned with. I mean, you even look at what they did throughout the game. I mean, Jimmy G didn't have the greatest game, you know, throwing the football. You know, he did have, you know, a scoring rushing touchdown. He ran it from 1 yard out. But he didn't have a great passing game in terms of touchdowns. But they still won because the defense showed up.
And that, I'm okay with that because at the end of the day, we need to win games. We're not asking to have perfect games. We're not asking for the perfect stats. We're asking for wins. And the San Francisco 49ers, that's what they've been asking for a long time. A lot of people have been doubting them. And guess what? They're still undefeated. Only undefeated team in the NFC. And for me, they're one of the top three teams in the NFC. So we're gonna have to see how they keep rolling. I wish them the best of luck, and I hope that they keep moving forward. Richard Sherman continues to prove his worth and his value, not only as a leader but as a strong player on the team. Continues to show that his vigor from Seattle just didn't disappear. Like I said. With the right pieces around him, he is continuing to show that he can be a top corner.
Oh yeah, definitely. And you said, you know, as you said with his leadership, I mean he definitely is a key piece of that defense, and he's doing his part.
Yeah, Jimmy G loves George Kittle. I just want to put that out there. George Kittle is their best receiver. 8 receptions, 103 yards. His favorite check down target. I think he learned that from Tom Brady and, you know, the check down with Gronk. When you got a big man like that, that can move the sticks on no matter where he is, it's a valuable asset. And, you know, Jimmy G's just said, hey, let me check it down to my guy. Let me move the sticks. And George Kittle's that guy week in and week out.
Yeah, he's definitely a beast. One of the best tight ends, you know, definitely top two, in my opinion, as far as tight ends go in the league right now. Mm-hmm. You know, I really like Kittle. And like you said, you know, going back to him as his check down guy, that's his security blanket. And I say this all the time, security blankets are huge for quarterbacks. You know, it helps them out. And to have a guy like that, you know, not only does he, you know, not only is he a big guy, but he runs hard as well. You know, he's not going to go down easily, and he's going to fight for those yards. You know, that's why he's able to get so many first downs, because he's a fighter. And he goes down swinging. You know, so I really like what they did. And I mean, I know you were talking about that defense. You know, they were phenomenal, you know, against the Rams.
And one thing that I've noticed is that I think teams are starting to figure out who Sean McVay is and the scheme that he's been running. I think they've been exposed ever since the loss in the Super Bowl. Jared Goff has a great arm, and he has great offensive weapons, but the schemes that they're running are no longer a surprise to NFL teams. They're more prepared. They're ready for the unexpected. And I think that Sean McVay had that element of surprise, especially in his, you know, his first year. You had that element of surprise, but now you don't. They know your schemes. They know your plays. And plus, your offensive weapon, Todd Gurley, can't even stay healthy. If you can't establish a run game, how can you continue to maintain a great passing game? Your run game isn't solidified because there's no guarantee that your star player is going to produce because he's not healthy. You know, he's sitting out one game, then he comes in and produces another. It is something to worry about. I wonder if they're starting to regret paying him those big dollars. But hey, I mean, he is a valuable player. But we're gonna have to see how they continue moving forward. Even with their backup, Brown, he's all right. He had one great game this season, but this game, the running game couldn't be established no matter who was back there. The Rams are suffering, and they're suffering real bad. Their defense are getting gassed in games, and the defense can only do so much. Aaron Donald, you know, he's a great defensive player, but he's not on offense. They need to score. You can't get into the red zone and not score. This is what is causing them to lose games. Getting into the red zone, not scoring, or you're putting yourself in a position to score, and you're making mistakes like penalties, and this is costing them big time. It's making us question whether the Rams are even capable of doing what they did last year, with the fact that with the unhealthy offense and the injuries, the defense, other team defense is exposing the offense, and the lack of surprises.
Yeah, definitely. Going into, you know, another blowout of a game in some sort, you know, talking about teams with good defenses, the Eagles and the Vikings. The Vikings, ooh, man, 38-20, you know, a blowout of sorts against the Eagles. The defense was spectacular, forced 3 turnovers, 2 interceptions, and a fumble. They really held Carson Wentz in check. And, you know, I really like Carson Wentz. I think he's one of the better young quarterbacks in the league. But, you know, they really kept him at bay, man. And ever since Kirk Cousins went live and apologized to Adam Thielen, that man has been balling. He 333 yards, 4 TDs. He was phenomenal. 22 of 29. You know, he was pretty darn good against the Eagles. You know, the defense, you know, the secondary of the Eagles has just been porous the last few weeks. They got injuries, they got young guys coming in there, they're just not performing, they're not playing up to par. The Eagles, they just, you know, they weren't a good, you know, team against those guys. I think that they're lacking in the receiving department. A few weeks ago, Jordan Howard looked like he was getting it rolling. He hasn't been producing, so it's like I don't know what's going on with the Eagles. But I mean, you know, the Vikings, they're in a tough division, the NFC North, and you got to win to stay in it. And at 4-2, they're right behind Green Bay. And you know, they've been pretty good.
And you know, you're right. Kirk Cousins actually made that apology. Things did turn around. They started with the Giants, even though, you know, that game was kind of shaky. They still came out with a win. But let's not forget Stephon Diggs. He was the first three, four games. He was very quiet, especially with the issue with Kirk Cousins and not being able to get the ball down the field. Not this time. 7 receptions, 167, 3 TDs. My man went off. My man turned the burners on. My man took some extra juice. My man said, I'm making it happen this week, and he did. And he did it all while looking calm, smooth, and collected. He is a player to watch. Now, you know, you already know that Minnesota has also other aspects to their team with Adam Thielen and, you know, Dalvin Cook. Now that Kirk Cousins is starting to get in a rhythm of flow with his other receivers, I want to see how this offense is going to start moving up tempo in the second half of the season. If they can continue to connect the way that they're doing, I think they're going to be a very, very high-powered offense. But we have to see how they can continue to keep this rhythm and this momentum going.
Yeah. I definitely want to see. They still got a tough schedule ahead. So you know, the good thing is they've already played some division games, which kind of helps. You know, it gives you a kind of sense of where the other teams are in your division. So
they play some real teams. They've had some
good competition in the last few weeks. So it's about how, you know, they go moving forward. You know, but let's go ahead and dive into the next game. Big game. Two young stud quarterbacks, Deshaun Watson on one end, Patrick Mahomes on the other end. And I said this a few weeks ago. Ever since the Detroit Lion game, the blueprint has been out there on how to beat the Chiefs. Get Patrick Mahomes a little rattled in some discomfort. Pressure him. Press on the receivers, and you have a chance. I mean, he still was getting the ball down there. You saw that wonderful deep throw that he threw to Tyreek Hill and made an exception. Did you see that, Brother John? Look.
Tyreek Hill had a 41-inch vertical on that. I saw that.
I'm going to tell you right now, man, can't nobody jump like that. I saw that.
Man, it's, looked like he was going to dunk.
I don't ever want to see anybody attempt nothing like that, man. But that was one. That man almost flew.
You're absolutely right. And to be honest, I don't think that they figured out the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs just have very noticeable weaknesses, especially in the defense, and especially with a unhealthy offense. I mean, their offensive line hasn't been producing like they should. Patrick Mahomes still dealing with the ankle injury. You can tell he's favoring that ankle a lot. Even on that that play with the strip fumble, he's stuck on that ankle. That ankle is planted in the ground, and that is a weakness. It is going to hurt him. And I do think that he may need to have to come off and get some real treatment for that. Defensively, they're not where they can be. They could be a lot better. I think they do need to go out there and get a top corner. Maybe trade for, you know, somebody like a Jalen Ramsey, or even talk to the Giants and get, you know, Jack Rabbit. You need to have a number one corner on your squad to help out your defense. You can't keep getting beat on those deep balls. Now, with that being said, I do think that the Chiefs are getting smacked with a dose of realness. Just because you did great last year doesn't mean that it's going to carry over to this year. The first couple games, you noticed it. They were doing well, and they were managing to regulate the team with their missing pieces, especially, you know, no Tyreek Hill. That's your biggest offensive weapon. So without that, you have to manage how to score in different ways and also have the defense be able to keep up while you're managing trying to score in different ways. I mean, DeMarcus Robinson, he's a no-show. He had two great games, and then he's been quiet. So I want to see how they're going to pick up and continue to move forward. I don't think they're out of it, but I do think that they do need to get healthy.
Let's not discredit the game that the Texans had. The Texans have been playing great. After the first two games of the season where they were a little shaky, they've been on fire. Deshaun Watson, even on 42 attempts, he still managed 280 yards. It's not terrible, but, you know, it's solid. Carlos Hyde, he had 116 yards on the ground, his season high. You know, he had a 20-plus carries
great
again,
game
so he's
from
definitely
Hyde.
Their main guy. Coming into the season with the Lamar Miller injury, everybody's like, hey, where are they going to find, you know, a solid running back? You thought maybe Duke Johnson might have been the answer on that, but he hasn't been. So it's definitely going to be something to, you know, keep an eye on. But he's been phenomenal. He scored a touchdown. And the defense, you know, just going back to it again, they pressured Patrick Mahomes a lot. They got two turnovers out of him. So, you know, they did pretty good. But, of course, the Chiefs are rolling. They're on the top of their division. I mean, the Texans, excuse me, they're rolling. They're on the top of their division in the South, and they're looking to create some separation. Meanwhile, in the other South, the NFC South, the Saints got another victory. Teddy Bridgewater is undefeated as a
starter. They're rolling.
these guys, you know, they, Sean Payton got these guys rolling. Balanced offense. You know, everybody played a part, even though they didn't run the ball particularly well. You know, everyone had, you know, a role and they played it. Michael Thomas, I think he's the best receiver in football. 89 yards, you know, in the air. Bridgewater, 240 yards passing on 32 attempts. He had a touchdown pass. And something that was huge to me was the defense. I mean, they didn't really get any, you know, sacks or turnovers. Yeah.
Coming up big. They played well. Cam Jordan again coming up big.
Seven passes defended. Seven. That means they were batting the ball down. They were playing tight coverage. They were pressing up on guys. And you know, people have been giving that secondary a lot of slack. I've been giving that secondary a lot of slack all season. And the last few games, they have been playing well. They've been playing as a solid unit. You know, the front seven, those guys are really good. Like you said, Jordan, he's a beast. Their linebackers have been playing well. But their secondary has definitely stepped up the last few weeks. And that's one of the main reasons why they've been playing so well.
Yeah, I definitely have to agree with you about Michael Thomas and being the best receiver in football. And it's not even just about the numbers. He is the smartest receiver in football. He knows how to position himself and make certain plays. His big body and his advantage, he knows how to put himself in a position to make those plays, especially when it comes to, you know, advancing the ball or even spotting the ball on certain plays. You already know there's going to be a quick sling to Michael Thomas going across the middle, and he's going to get it. There's no stopping that. You saw it in the last couple games where if they needed a field goal and he needed to put the ball in the right spot, he was that guy. And with a guy like that and his IQ being so high, it's a great value and a great asset. And not only are his production and his numbers looking good, but when you got a guy who can be smart on the field and make the right moves, it just helps your offense. Defensively, they look great. They crushed Gardner Minshew, and they held him. He only had 163 yards and an interception, no TDs. Their offense, the Jaguars' offense, didn't look good at all. I mean, Leonard Fournette, he had 72 yards on 20 carries, but they could not produce. The Saints' defense was not having it. They weren't having it at all. And you could see in the face of the Jaguars that they were frustrated. They were frustrated the whole game. Their most of their points came in the second and third quarter with only two field goals. That's all they came out with. That is it. You can't win games with just two field goals. You cannot win games with just two field goals. Not in this day and age. This ain't the old NFL where, you know, you could win with the field goal and you're, if you got a top notch defense to shut them out, cool. Yep, nope. Yep, you need to put up points.
And they're losing space in the AFC South. You know, the Texans with that big win that they had this week. The Jags can't afford any more losses. But let's get to me, I think, the biggest game of the week. The Packers and the Lions. Packers winning 23-22. Last second field goal. My guy, Aaron Rodgers, somehow, some way, anyway, he does it. He gets them down the field, and they score on a winning field goal, and they walk off with the victory. The referees. I don't know how many other times I can say it. They are terrible. They suck. The players.
Somebody
can't
needs to
say
get
it,
a talking to.
But I can't.
Somebody needs to get a punishment.
They're not good. They
can't find
terrible.
Us.
Terrible. The first call.
Terrible calls.
Illegal hands to the face on Trey Flowers. I was like, you know what?
Trey Flowers.
It's It took away a sack.
Maybe you could get away with it. Maybe.
That would have hurt the Packers badly. They took away that sack. I'm like, you know what? It's okay. They're going to go ahead and move on. They're going to get another stop. Because the defense, yo, let me tell you, yo, the Lions defense is legit. And they're not even
surreal. They're not even playing. You see what they did to the running game and the Packers
corners right now? Like, they are for real. In the front seven, man. Nope. Matt Patricia has those guys balling. Snacks, Trey Flowers, Devin Kennard, Gerard Davis. All those guys were balling.
Snacks looked great. He made Aaron Rodgers eat turf.
After the first flag, I'm like, yo, there's no way that, you know, it can't happen. You know, they already been so bad this whole season already. Like, there's no way the refs. I'm not even worried about the refs at this point because I don't think that they can top what they just did. And with, well, it was with a minute or something like that left, maybe less than a minute left, they do it again. The same call.
They gave him another one. The same
player, Bakhtiari.
They do it again.
Trey Flowers gets illegal use of hands again. Number 90, Trey Flowers. Just in case anybody doesn't know who I'm talking about.
But let's put that aside for a second. We got to give big ups to Bakhtiari because he sold it. He sold it. He sold it. He sold it. He need a job in the NBA because he sold it real well.
I don't care how great of an actor you are. He could have his arms up flailing and all that. Anybody with two eyes can see that he did not have his hand on his face mask. Trey Flowers was nowhere near his face mask.
He didn't touch the face mask. But the way, if you look at his left hand, if you look at his left hand as he's pushing up the shoulder pad, he does come up under the helmet. But it is not an illegal hands to the face. This is just the way the movement down how it happened. You know, yeah, like I said, it's just from that angle.
Near his face mask.
He was
nowhere near his face mask.
No, not like I said, it doesn't come up in the face mask. It just comes up under the helmet, which is natural. When your hands are in that position and you're fighting back and forth, it's only bound to happen. But as the line judge behind the line of scrimmage and you're looking at the offense and you're seeing this going on, you're the one that has clear sight of what is happening. Now, the first one is more difficult to differentiate right there at that moment. I could understand that one. But the second one should have never happened at all. That cost them a game. Granted, that's not the only reason why they lost. The Lions lost because they couldn't score. There's no reason you get into the red zone five times and you only get field goals. It can't happen. You go and kick five field goals? Five? Nah. You guys got to get in the red zone and put up points. TDs. Not just field goals. TDs. If they scored one touchdown, they would have won this game. Hands down. I think Aaron Rodgers got a Tom Brady favor in this one. The rest were in his pocket, but I can't discredit him. He with all of his weapons not being on the team, he did what he had to do. He made the correct plays, and he was able to come out on top on this one. Especially without his number one receiver Davante Adams, and Geronimo went out in the first half. You got Valdez Scantling.
Doesn't need anybody.
Who do you have? You got
24 of 39.
No, you're right. He doesn't need anybody, but you have
Aaron Rodgers. That man can have me go out there and we win in the game.
Oh,
Aaron Rodgers can win anything with anybody because he's the best quarterback in the NFL. I said that. Look, people always say, what about Brady? Look, Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback in the NFL. I will take Aaron Rodgers any day over anybody.
But you can't.
He's that good. That and
oh no, and for last sure. Night but you is can't. You can't. Why, though. You can't forget. You can't forget. No. Absolutely. You're definitely the best quarterback in the league. But you can't forget Lazard stepping up and making big plays. Especially after that first egregious a penalty. He gets that 65-yard TD. Now, that was phenomenal. Right in the basket. Aaron Rodgers take a shot after that throw, but they come out with a score on it. Plus, Lazard was able to put himself in positions to help the Packers get first downs when they needed it most. Good job, you know, Lazard stepping up, especially when they needed it. But Aaron Rodgers, let me put a stat out there. Aaron Rodgers at home is above 500 in the last 43 games at home. The rest of the NFL is under 10%. They have less than 10% chance of wins in the last 43 games. Aaron Rodgers is better than half of the NFL teams right now at home. Do not bet against that man, like you said. Do not bet against that man, especially at Lambeau. He had a great game. He capped it off right. And let's not forget Mason Crosby. Mason Crosby had a great game, too. He actually won my fantasy this week. You know, me and you was going head-to-head, and Mason Crosby put that win on. He put the dub on the board for me. So thank you, Mason Crosby.
Because I had a chance to win that game with Aaron Jones. And, you know, as it goes, when you need him, he doesn't show up. You know, that's with anybody, not just directed at Aaron Jones. But just, you know, he didn't show up. And it cost us. And we did fold. But, you know, you're right. You know, the Packers are legit. I still think they're the best team in football right now. I know the Patriots are undefeated, the Niners, but I'm taking my chances with the Packers. I think that they have a solid defense, solid offense. It doesn't matter who Aaron Rodgers has. He's going to win you the football game. And from now on, from this day forward, when it comes to the Packers, I'm just going to say Aaron Rodgers. That's Aaron Rodgers. That's it. Like, I'm not going to say anything else. Aaron Rodgers. And I'm riding that to the end of the season. Aaron Rodgers. Because I think right now they're legit.
And you know what? You know what people were complaining about in the beginning of the season? That, you know, you don't need game managers. You need quarterbacks. Uh-uh. I don't know who came up with that. When you're in the game, you're the guy calling the plays. You're the one at the line seeing what you're seeing. You're the game manager. You're the guy making those shots, those calls saying, hey, this is what I need to do to move the ball across the field. This is what I need to do to make the team go forward. We had talked about that, about the Super Bowl with Russell Wilson. If you get that call, 1 yard line, beast mode in the backfield, you get that egregious call, throw a slant. I don't give a hoot. I'm not stupid. My IQ is above 100. I am going with beast mode all day, every day. And in that moment, Russell Wilson was not a game manager. And that's why Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback in the league and possibly in the history of the NFL. With the arm that he got, he may not have as many rings as Tom Brady, but I'm taking Aaron Rodgers over Tom Brady any day of the week.
I know, short show today, but we'll be back. You already know how we do. Check out our new blog. We got our new power rankings up. It's your guy, Easy Ollie.
It's your boy, D Dubs, and we appreciate y'all for listening. Thank you. Continue to support. Continue to go to our page. Donate. Continue to follow us on Instagram. Continue to follow us on Twitter. And again, check out our blog, coverseasonb.home.blog. See y'all next time.